What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
During Ramadan, we see the traditions that are shared by many faiths. Believers engaged in prayer and fasting, in humble devotion to God.
Ryan really is the epitome of the pro-life Catholic, and Joe Biden is clearly the epitome of the social justice Catholic.
The HHS mandate says that the government can force people of religious conviction to violate those religious convictions. It's egregious. It's a violation of the separation of church and state, and it cannot and will not stand.
Confessional Lutheran deadheads love Issues, Etc.
He lives, well, just about 100 years, if you kind of picture their life spans. He's born about 100 years after Luther is. He's deeply influenced by Luther, and he goes on to become not only a prodigy in his youth, but in his long life as a Lutheran theologian, one of the most influential Lutheran theologians. His name is often forgotten, Johann Gerhardt, although Lutherans of the past generation depended upon him in a significant way. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 17th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this day many years ago, Johann Gerhardt died, and the church remembers him on this day. We'll do so here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. with Pastor Joshua Hayes. After that, we'll turn the clock back even farther to the 12th century and remember 12th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux. Dr. David Coles of Concordia Theological Seminary will be our guest. After that, Issues Etc. comment line, a little bit of our Issues Etc. listener email. We'll go through all of that. And then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote for soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Joshua Hayes is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska. He is assistant editor of a new translation of Johann Gerhardt's Theological Commonplaces, and he joins us to talk about Gerhardt here on the day of his death. Pastor Hayes, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What is Gerhardt's most enduring contribution to Lutheran theology, do you think, that we would be aware of today?
That we would be aware of? That might be some of his devotional works, which are probably in some of your listeners' homes. But I think probably his most significant contribution, maybe one that folks are not aware of, is his dogmatic work, Theological Commonplaces, which even though is not widely read until now that it's being translated, had an influence on the way that our pastors are trained, even to this day, in our seminaries. And Gerhardt really brought Lutheran theology to a new height with his work and his teaching in his day that had echoes throughout the centuries, through Walther, and even into our seminary classrooms today.
So he was the influence, the primary influence, on those theologians that have been the primary influence on many pastors and theologians today.
That's right. He's a major influence. Our pastors, when they go to seminary, they read Pieper's Dogmatics, and Pieper drew a lot of his material straight from Johann Gerhardt, and of course Luther and other Lutheran theologians as well. But Gerhardt organized the material in a new way, a way that he was building upon what Philip Melanchthon had actually done. And this is what Lutheran theological education has looked like for centuries.
I want to come back to that in a few minutes here. Let's talk about the life of the man. He sits about 100 years after Luther, making him second, probably third generation Lutheran. Tell us about the man himself.
That's right. He was born in 1582 in Quedlinburg, upper Saxony. And he was born really kind of that first generation of those who were born into the Lutheran Church, now with the Reformation basically over, or the hard fight having been done. So the Book of Concord is, the ink is dry on that in 1580, and he's born 2 years later in 1582. So he's among the first to go through Lutheranism his whole life long. And this influences both his piety and theology and also his education, because the Lutheran Reformation, while primarily about the gospel, did have a major impact on education. And so Gerhard is a byproduct and fruit of the Lutheran Reformation.
What do you mean by that impact on education that figured so prominently into Gerhard's life?
Well, Luther and Melanchthon saw that in order to have a successful Reformation, they needed to teach, and they needed to teach both in universities and in schools and in parishes. And so Gerhard benefits from the sort of Wittenberg Lutheran Reformation. I hesitate to call it classical education, but it's kind of similar to that. And this is what really allows him and his colleagues at this time to reach such heights of being educated. I dare say that these people that lived in the 17th century were the most educated ever. When he was 17 years old, for example, he went to Wittenberg. But you would think that he went there to study theology, and that's true. But first he studied philosophy. He studied philosophy at Wittenberg because that was the major curriculum of the day. And he even dabbled in a little bit of medicine and kind of was what we might call a Renaissance man. But then after he's finished in Wittenberg, he goes to the university in a town called Jena in 1603. And that's where he studies theology, gets his doctorate, and earns that doctorate at just the age of 23, probably when most of our young men are just entering the seminary.
So he would definitely be a prodigy by today's standard, but I imagine not so much in his day?
Well, he was definitely recognized as being a brilliant mind. There's no doubt about that. He would not have been completely unusual for him to have earned a doctorate that early on, but he was definitely recognized as being of singular intelligence. In fact, when he died, he stayed at Jena and ended up teaching there for most of his life. And when he died, it was said that the academy has not lost one of its professors, but its professors have lost the academy. In other words, his death had something of the effect of if half of our seminary faculty were to die in a plane crash. That was kind of the significance of this one man.
What was it about his approach? You said he built upon Philip Melanchthon's way of explicating the Lutheran theology. What was it about his approach that was so impactful in his day, even down to ours?
Okay. So, first of all, He was able to both write devotional literature and scholarly theological literature. So he was comfortable at the bedside of someone who was dying. He himself experienced a lot of adversity in his life. And so his most popular works are very devotional in nature. In fact, our synodical president at present has translated one of those, and the title in the translation is Meditations on Divine Mercy. And it's just a nice little, not long book of just meditations. And these were immensely popular. He also had another book called Sacred Meditations. Very popular. But on the other hand, like you said, he was very comfortable with high-powered theology. And in his Theological Commonplaces, which is regarded as his crowning achievement, he built upon what Philip Melanchthon had done, and in using the commonplace method, or in Latin we call it the loci method. And this was a very ancient idea. In fact, it came from the classical world, where if you were writing a speech, maybe to defend someone in court, there were different loci, different commonplaces that you could kind of draw on to craft your speech, the who, what, when, where's, and why's. And Melanchthon and his contemporaries took this and kind of ran in a new direction with it, and they said, well, let's take an argument that lays out Christian doctrine clearly, and then we'll build our dogmatics. We'll explain and teach our Lutheran theology based on that. And so they looked in Scripture, and they look at the book of Romans and see how Paul has laid out a lot of Christian theology there in a very organized fashion. And Melanchthon writes his loci, his commonplaces, based on Romans, almost kind of like a commentary on Romans, and a little bit more, and lays out Lutheran theology. And Luther praises this. He says, this is good. This is a good way to transmit down through time Lutheran teaching and the theology of Luther. Chemnitz, who follows Melanchthon, comments on this and builds upon it. And then Gerhard is kind of the one who really takes it all the way. And this is why he's often called the third after which there is no fourth. So we have Luther, Martin Chemnitz, and Johann Gerhard. And Gerhard stands on the shoulders of those giants, but also is himself a giant.
Pastor Joshua Hayes is our guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska. We're talking about 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard. It's Friday afternoon, August the 17th. Stay tuned. More Issues, Etc. after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin, Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois, Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Pro-life Democrats, you're out there. You need to go get active in your party, and really, we need to change from the ground up. Pro-life Democrats, get out there.
Mary is the Mother of God in December, in Advent, and Christmas. She is also the Mother of God on Epiphany, and she's the Mother of God in February. She's the Mother of God in August, too.
You need to quit being scared and come on out from under the bed or wherever it is you're hiding, and come on out and open your mouth, because you aren't the only one who thinks what you think. And that's what people need to take from Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
Preach that cross, the scandal of the cross, trusting this is the source of our salvation. And when we do, if the church gets smaller, so be it. But in the end, that is what really, truly builds the church.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, August the 17th, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. For you to vote, for you to listen, you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard, who died on this day in 1637. Our guest, Pastor Joshua Hayes. Pastor Hayes, we were talking before the break about his theological commonplaces, 23 volumes. Is it also sheer volume itself? And we would call it a systematic theology, but that doesn't even really cover it. 23 volumes of theology, that's a lot of detail.
Yeah, it is voluminous. Keep in mind, too, though, that if we compared Luther's writings to Gerhard's writings, Luther would surpass them in terms of sheer volume. The genius of Gerhard is being able to organize all of that in a way that lets Scripture reign alone. And so, yes, there's a lot of pages, but they're well organized, and in a way that pastors and lay theologians can access them and learn theology in a way that it makes sense. We would maybe call it systematic theology today, but like you said, that's not quite accurate, because in these volumes, Gerhard is doing everything. He's doing exegesis, which means he's pulling out Greek and Hebrew root words and really looking at the text of Scripture. And he's doing pastoral theology and talking about how this particular teaching is comforting and how this can be applied to our lives. And, he's doing church history throughout all of these. So, yes, we might classify them as systematic theology, but really it's a complete theological education within these volumes.
Now, what is the role for Gerhard of the two primary sources of Lutheran theology as they've come to be understood, first Scripture, then the Lutheran Confessions?
Scripture, the advantage of this commonplace method is that it really lets Scripture reign alone, because each doctrinal topic, say Christ or election or marriage, does not necessarily depend on another. What I mean by that is Gerhard does not start with an idea like happens in some churches today, for example, God is love, and then runs with that idea so that, well, maybe that means that God loves everybody no matter what they do. No, he starts with Scripture first. So, if we're talking about election, then we're going to go to those places in Scripture that clearly discuss election, and then we'll work out from there, so that we're not letting our theological thinking trump Scripture. We're letting Scripture shape our theological thinking. And then what was the other question you had asked?
Well, just pausing there for a moment, that sounds like kind of the technical term is sedes doctrinae approach to
Correct.
This. You go to Scripture finding the primary passages, and then let Scripture guide you into how the subject will be discussed and treated from that point on.
Correct. You don't, sometimes we have our theology all kind of lined up, and then we have a piece that doesn't quite fit. So, for example, if God wants to save everybody, and God is responsible completely for our salvation, how come not everyone is saved? Well, that doesn't really fit in, and so, and some theologians, they just, reason it out. Calvin did that very well. He just, well, okay, I'll just, you know, kind of figure this out. But no, with Lutherans, we say, well, we're going to go with what Scripture says and let the paradox stand. We'll just let the paradox stand because we're going to let Scripture trump our own thinking.
Now, the second part of that question was regarding Gerhardt's use of the Confessions,
oh, yeah.
And you mentioned early on that the Confessions are, well, they're newly minted, really, when he approaches the theology.
That's right. They were very, you know, when he was born, just 2 years after the Book of Concord was printed. Now, some of the documents in the Book of Concord are much older. He, in the theological commonplaces, he does not quote from the Lutheran Confessions very often. He will quote from Luther and Melanchthon and Church Fathers and everyone else. And when I say everyone else, I mean everyone else, very often. He does not often quote the Lutheran Confessions, and that's because he is fighting with opponents who do not recognize the Lutheran Confessions as authoritative. So he's arguing against the Roman Catholics, the Papists. He's arguing against these up-and-coming Reformed theologians, and so he wants to defeat them on their own ground. And so that's why we don't see him quoting the Lutheran Confessions too often in this particular work.
So why is it, kind of wrapping these things up here, Joshua, why is it that a theologian so firmly rooted in the latter era of the Reformation, why is he necessary for us today, for the whole church today?
He is necessary because he is the, to use Walther's words, his teaching, his commonplaces, is the apex of Lutheran dogmatics. In fact, Walther compared it to the sun. It just outshines everything else. And when our Missouri Synod forefathers came over from Germany, Walther and all of those company, they came leaving behind Leipzig and the university there and all these major German universities, but they came with Gerhard. They came with Luther. And this was their university. And Walther himself was a huge proponent of Johann Gerhard. And then after that era, he begins not to be read so much, frankly, because it's in Latin, and that's not as well known anymore. And so now we're at a really neat time in history where our church body is translating these and releasing them out. And in Walther's estimation and in mine, there's really no reason for any Missouri Synod pastor not to subscribe and have these volumes on their shelves to enhance their preaching, to enhance their confirmation instruction, to enhance Bible study, and to be a shining light on their bookshelf, if I may put it that way.
So with only about a minute here, it sounds like Johann Gerhard, that we're hearing more and more about today, has at least for a time in American Lutheranism been a temporarily forgotten theologian, one that sorely needs to be remembered.
Yes, I think that's true. Although, as I said at the very beginning of our interview, the effects of his teaching are still present even in our seminaries today, because those who came after Walther wrote, for example, the man Francis Pieper, wrote dogmatics in such a way that very much dovetailed on off of Gerhard's theological works. So the influence is still there, but we should not forget the man, who in fact died on this day, which is why we remember him and give thanks to God for him on this day.
Pastor Joshua Hayes is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska. He's assistant editor of the new translation of Johann Gerhard's Theological Commonplaces. You can find out more about Theological Commonplaces at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Johann Gerhard's Theological Commonplaces. Joshua, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back from this break, we're going to turn the church history clock back another 5 centuries. Coming up this Sunday, the church will be remembering Bernard of Clairvaux. That's in the 12th century, and a lot of people might say, well, the 12th century, what good was going on in the 12th century? The Reformers thought a lot of good was going on there, and perhaps one of the most appreciated church fathers, Bernard of Clairvaux, was in the forefront of the mind of one Martin Luther, especially when it came to his Christology. We'll talk about 12th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux when we come back on this Friday afternoon. Dr. David Coles will be our guest after that. We'll do a little listener email, see what you have to say, responding to your email as much as we can, as we usually do on Friday afternoons, and then get ready, because in the last half hour of the program, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can listen right now at our website, issuesetc.org, to those 4 soundbites that we've picked out for you. But you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You do so by voting 1-877-623-6943. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can vote by sending us a tweet at @issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon, August the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, Bernard of Clairvaux, a hymn writer, a theologian, and an influence on the Reformation. Stay tuned.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, A Study of the Origins of Religious Writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Here are 2 new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
One tiny newborn girl, an intended victim of China's brutal one-child policy, has escaped death, but just barely. A local man found her in the trash with a horrific, intentional wound across her throat. They rushed her to the local hospital where, at last word, she remained in critical condition. Don't expect this deadly policy to change while the Chinese government provides financial incentives to the family planning thugs to impose it. Officials give them points and cash for every abortion they enforce, and the government takes away points for every out-of-quota birth that gets by. The village family planning teams compete to be the top scorers. If they're the winners, they get a cash bonus. The patience of our righteous God won't last forever. I pray justice will come soon.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.